Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
This is Congressman Shri Thanedar. Donald Trump has already done real damage to our democracy. But defying a unanimous 9-0 Supreme Court ruling, that has to be the final straw. It's time we impeach Donald J. Trump. The court said the wrongfully deported Kilmer Garcia must be allowed to return and receive due process. Trump ignored it. He ignored the Constitution. He ignored the very checks and balances that keep our democracy intact. This isn't an isolated incident. It's part of a dangerous, deliberate pattern. That's why today I introduced a resolution to impeach Donald J. Trump.
Man, you know what else is not an isolated incident? Impeaching Donald Trump. Yeah, you just do that over and over and over again, and they're going to keep doing it. And in fact, the Republicans, if they don't keep the House, Donald Trump will be impeached again. That's how important it is. But we are on day 100 here on the Annie Fry Show, and I wanted to open just with a little bit of resistance media just to let you know where we're at. They haven't stopped yet. But today's YouTube live chat poll we're going to get to in a minute because it's about the 100 days. Welcome to the Annie Fry Show here on these unique couple days, especially today, because Annie is in Washington, D.C. Yesterday at this time, Annie was able to join us right from the start of the show. Is it possible that she's going to join us again here soon? Yes.
Yeah, very possible.
But she's on the steps of Capitol Hill.
Well, I'm not sure where she's at.
What do we think?
She's in Washington, D.C. somewhere.
And so we are trying
like
to connect.
She's in my left ear right now.
Oh, and, really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. So Brad's talking while being talked to by Annie and me.
So if it sounds like I'm in a speech jammer, that's why.
It's not necessarily a technical thing. We just don't know. She's doing so much. In fact,
well,
I would say.
Hold on. This is breaking.
Breaking news. Okay. Here we go.
What a scoop. Ryan's a goofball. All right. Go ahead.
That's not cool.
That's not cool, he says.
Annie is actively joining us in this show probably multiple times and probably for a length of time. But she's in the midst of doing a lot. I would say compared to the first 24 hours, she's actually done double the amount in the last 24 hours. So we're going to have a lot of content for you, not only from her, but with her during this show. But before we get there, the YouTube live chat poll today, kind of honoring the 100 days, what it opened with impeachment audio. Will the next 100 days have, and here's your choices, more victories, less victories, about the same, or there haven't been any victories? We gave you that last one if you're a Trump hater because we knew you'd try to find something there. Maybe less victories would have been you, but that, you know, that one's for you. So will there be more victories in the next 100 days, less or about the same, really is our question for you today. There are a variety of ways that you could approach this. There are a variety of ways that I was approaching this in my head, which is why I thought it was a pretty good question for today. I think that a lot of what he's setting up could be those victories that we see in the next 100 days. What does that mean? Well, it does mean a lot about tariffs.
We've had an organ transplant in the Republican Party. The new organ is tariffs. This has not been part of the body Republican. And so Republicans, I think, are still...
How are you taking it? How is it?
I mean, we'll see, because I think what's on deck here and what will help reverse this trend in the polling, trade deals, announcements are good, peace deals, less chaos is good, tax deals, lower taxes is good, budget deals, looking like the Republicans are a competent governing party. So it's time for let's make a deal. And that will, I think, help people see the future, see the trajectory changing from something that they're nervous about to something where they can see. And we had a question about, does he have a clear plan? That would tell you, yes, they have a clear plan, because it looks like they're announcing deal after deal after deal. That's what they have to do next. That's what will reverse it.
Yeah, and I think one of the reasons that he keeps announcing, ooh, we're close to a deal, ooh, we're close to a deal, because that actually helps the market a little bit, and I don't think he's trying to hurt the market that badly, but he's looking long-term here, of course. We all know this. And these deals probably are pretty close, but there's a lot of detail. There's a lot of big change happening, and it's not just with China. It's not just with one nation. It's with every nation in the world. he's negotiating right now with literally, I think, every country that we trade with. He is re-examining those deals.
Yeah, and I think that's a good thing. I know people are hand-wringing about tariffs and stuff like that. What I really hope that is happening is what they are doing is resetting the table. Because there are a lot of lopsided deals, and because the United States economy is so strong, we're able to absorb some of that. But why should we do lopsided deals? Like, give me a good reason to do lopsided deals. So if we have to reset the table, now's as good a time as ever, especially with a country like China, because China doesn't like us. China isn't a competitor. They are an enemy. They do not like us. As soon as he put those tariffs on, I don't know if you follow how much on Twitter you saw, but the Chinese accounts came out and started talking a lot about how, oh, the United States is going to fall with these tariffs and trying to instill fear. They launched an operation against the American people. And, you know, it's a propaganda operation, but it's propaganda nonetheless. And they launched that against the United States because China wants to be the dominant world power.
And they came out in their official sources with things like, why are they doing this? Is so harsh.
Yes.
We didn't ask for any of these problems. You're creating problems where there aren't any problems.
Yeah, you're stealing intellectual property. I don't want to hear it.
Right. So there are a lot of deals being made right now, and understandably, that's going to take some time. So that could happen in the next 100 days. That would mean that there would be maybe more victories. But other things that could happen in the next 100 days are, if you're looking for justice with some of these crazy money laundering that looks to have existed, man, I'm going to hold on to the Act Blue stuff I have again. I teased it yesterday, talked about it a little with Mark Cox this morning. But man, they are really going after this Democrat money. I want to say money laundering, although it might be money raising organization, we will say for now, because it's alleged all the other things. But that could be big in the next 100 days, all this stuff. But or are you in the less victories category? Not because you're not optimistic, maybe you aren't, but that you say, gosh, he got so much done already in the first 100 days. Think about the difference between this administration right now and the last 4 years. You might look at that and go, hallelujah, things have gotten so much better. We have competency across the board. They're rooting out some of this deep state corruption. Can we keep up that pace? I don't think so. I think there's actually going to be less victories than there were in the last 100 days. Or is it about the same? You think the administration, are just going to sort of keep the gas pedal down, and what happens, happens. You know, that I've seen some people chiming in saying, yeah, I think that's probably about the pace, that we're going to stay right here. So that's the YouTube live chat poll today. Will the next 100 days be more victories, less victories, about the same, or there haven't been any victories because I hate Trump? again, we are going to connect with Annie, and she is in D.C. right now. But some of these weird things, I wanted to start with this because this is a weird and breaking story that there's a whole bunch of angles to. But, well, you know, Annie was in the press room this morning with Carolyn Leavitt. This clip came from the press briefing this morning.
It was reported this morning that Amazon will soon display a little number next to the price of each product that shows how much the Trump tariffs are adding to the cost of each product. So isn't that a perfect crystal clear demonstration that it's the American consumer and not China who is going to have to pay for these policies?
I will take this since I just got off the phone with the president about Amazon's announcement. This is a hostile and political act by Amazon. Why did Amazon do this when the Biden administration hiked inflation to the highest level in 40 years? And I would also add that it's not a surprise because, as Reuters recently wrote, Amazon has partnered with a Chinese propaganda arm. So this is another reason why Americans should buy American. It's another reason why we are onshoring critical supply chains here at home to shore up our own critical supply chain and boost our own manufacturing here.
Andy Goes to Washington is sponsored by Stewart's American Mortgage. Same or better rates, no closing costs, fast closing. And by Grasser Electric. Don't be left in the dark. Call Grasser Electric.
Here she is. She was in that press briefing this morning. We have connected with Miss Annie Fry. Hello.
Hi. How are you guys doing?
Good. Where are you at right now?
Sitting in Congressman Mike Boss's office.
Okay.
He's not here. I did an interview with him, like a 4 or 5 minute interview. You guys are going to get to hear that either today or tomorrow when I get back. We're going to have more content that we're going to be able to turn over to you throughout the entire week here as I'm covering officially today Donald Trump's 100th day live from Capitol Hill this time in the chairman of the Veterans Affairs office. It's a really beautiful office, walking around the Capitol and seeing how all of these things function over here. I'm excited to also share with you, Brad will have this shortly, an interview that I sat down 10 minutes in Senator Eric Schmidt's office as well. So you'll be able to watch that that interview and all of this made possible. A huge, huge thank you to Stewart's American Mortgage, the bagel loan guy. If you're looking for a mortgage or a mortgage refinance, please connect with Stewie 314-324-4440, or you can just Google the bagel loan. And also our friends at Grasser Electric, if you have an emergency electrical situation, if you need to have old wiring made new in your house, whatever it is, Grasser Electric can help make sure you stay connected and powered up. And we're so grateful for both of them for making this possible. Lots of cool content today. Started with the White House press briefing, another one, 8:30 a.m. Eastern time, 7:30 a.m. Central time. And this time I got to see Scott Bessent, and really interesting to see these people who we watch, would you say literally every day that we're in the studio, we see, you know, the likes of Tom Homan and Scott Bessent and listen to him talk about the progress of the Trump administration so far on everything they're trying to do, but specifically with the tariffs and the deals. That Amazon story, I hadn't heard that until this is really why you have a press briefing and why you have all these reporters together to talk to the administration and hold them accountable. I hadn't heard about that. I'm probably going to go back and watch my reaction to him. It was a man, right, that was asking that question. Mm-hmm. I think so. And when they said that, I was like, well, that's crap. I was like, ooh, you don't need to be expressive, Annie, with your facial expressions. But to hear the response from the press secretary, Carolyn Leavitt, say that that was a bold move for Amazon to come back and do that, and later to be asked about the relationship between Jeff Bezos and Donald Trump, which she didn't comment on. I thought to myself, all right, this is how this is going to go. And I heard it myself from the press briefing that I was standing about 10 feet away from the person asking that question. So pretty cool.
Crazy stuff. Yeah, that story in particular, I wanted to lead with because it was one that everybody's kind of talking about right now. And there's a lot of mistruths and misstatements about it. But Carolyn Leavitt kind of put things in their perspective. Then Amazon came out, Annie, and said, no, we're not actually doing that. And then, like, it might have happened right before, right after you were interviewing Senator Eric Schmidt. He tweeted out that, yes, they were going to do that, but now they're backpedaling. So all the press that they're putting out is actually just damage control at this point. So, Annie, this morning being in the press room again, was there anything else that you're like, oh, yeah, this really stood out to me today?
You know, I think that the Bessent press conference, I'd have to look at the actual clocked time on the difference between the focus on the national security or the border with Tom Homan yesterday. It seemed a lot longer than the one today. She moved through a lot more questions yesterday. But I this is just me reading the room, so to speak. I think that the emotion behind the immigration issue, the deportation issue, the border security, I think that is something people are pretty emotional about. And there is some attraction because of that emotion to talking about that issue, a lot of things that the Trump administration can champion. And as I was, I'll tell you guys the question I was going to ask if I got called on here, but I'm sitting in this room with all of these really smart people who are super plugged into the very here and now. You've got economic experts. Bloomberg got to ask a question. I think there was some, business entities that were asking questions today, which is a smart move by the administration to call on those people. But I think to myself, like, who's talking to those American Trump supporters this election? You know, the people who saw what the Democrats have done to our pocketbooks. We listened to the entire Biden administration. We listened to Joe Biden. If he was talking, if they were talking, it was always about, we got to fix the Trump economy. They tried to paint the whole time any sort of economic woes with inflation going out of control over and over and over again, that this was somehow Trump's fault. And you and I, and we're, none of us here in this conversation are like whiz kids, economic masters or anything, but we know it was COVID. Like, we know that if you want to pin on Donald Trump any sort of economic negativity, you got to only start during COVID. You can't go anytime before that because everything in the economy was going gangbusters. And if COVID wouldn't have happened, we wouldn't be in the position we were in right now. And the Biden administration tried to paint all of the massive spending that they were implementing, all of the blooming inflation that we were having to deal with, and just try to say, people hate Donald Trump so much, we'll just say Trump did it. And they'll just pin all of this bad stuff that we're creating on him. Donald Trump's got to put it back in order. He knows what to do. He's committed to doing it. We've talked about this a lot. He's midstream on it. He's not to the other side yet. But the American people know that and understand it. And listening to those people in the press briefing today, I'm like, these people are asking questions for the smart people. I was going to ask a question for the rest of us. And that's, I can tell you on the other side of this break, if you want me to stick with you, what that question was.
Yeah. So is it fair to say that your this 24 hours has been busier than the first 24?
I got about 6 hours of sleep last night, and it's hard. The buzzing is on my side,
okay.
And I'm in, like I said, the congressman's office, and I have no idea what it is. Hopefully, they're not coming.
It's not an alarm.
Yeah. Maybe they're like crazy lady in the Veterans Affairs chairman's office. It's been. My life traditionally is super busy, going from ball game to volleyball court and everything, and that's busy, and I love it, and I miss it. This is a different kind of busy. This is intense, and I think Brad sent me here specifically to try to make me do all this tech stuff by myself. I think Brad thought, let's see how this girl can hang without all my tech support.
There was never a doubt.
Listen, if I have accomplished anything, the labor and head scratching and Googling that went into manufacturing stuff, it's been laborious, but very privileged to be here and to get to talk.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you, Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide, or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball, the game's official home for games, is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.
Talk to you, and again, thanks to Stewie at Stewart's American Mortgage and the folks at Grasser Electric for making it possible.
Brad told me before the show that starting Wednesday, it's going to be all grace and mercy for him with everything from here on out. And he's really looking forward to that. So
I am starting to see the investment here. I think I completely understand.
Well, let's get a full report on what your last 24 hours to a day, because we haven't talked to you since the station has talked to you. But we here on the Andy Fry have not talked to you since yesterday at about 1 o'clock.
So. You know, I'm saving the good stuff for you guys.
Well, we hope, but we'll see. You know, that will be determined. That's the tease. Is the good stuff okay. Next, or is she already blown it all? I guess you got to stick around and see. This is the Andy Fry Show. We'll be right back.
You know, President Trump creates what I would call strategic uncertainty in the negotiations. So he is more concerned about getting the best possible trade deals for the American people. You know, we had 4 years of bad deals for decades of unfair trading, and you know, we are going to unwind those and make them fair. What we are doing is we've created a process. I think the aperture of uncertainty will be narrowing, and as we start moving forward announcing deals, then there will be certainty. But you know, certainty is not necessarily a good thing in negotiating.
That's Scott Bessent, the Treasury Secretary. And Annie Fry was in Washington, D.C., still is in Washington, D.C. She was in the room for that press briefing this morning with Scott Bessent. And that's really big stuff. I mean, we're talking about trade stuff. Everybody in the world is talking about it. Everybody in the world is wringing their hands about it. And Annie was there, so I figured I'd start with a really big question about Scott Bessent. Is he, like, super tall?
Super tall.
Is he?
Yeah. Yeah. He is. I feel bad. Oh, here comes the buzzing again.
Uh-oh.
This one's not going to stop.
That one's not going to stop?
What does that mean? Do you know what I think that might be? That might be a call to vote. I think that might be a buzzer that says, hey, you
should
need to get a foreign vote. I should go vote. I'll be right back.
Yeah, go.
I got some things to vote on, people. I think that's what that is, actually. Bessent, I was going to say, what was the question? It was important.
It was really is Bessent tall?
But he was, it was, it, you know, I always think he's kind of like robotic, you know, and he was, it didn't get that same vibe off of TV. And I feel like now that I've seen these people, or they're not going to, like, okay, I don't think Scott Bessent is going to tune into the Annie Fry Show. But if he did, I wouldn't want him to hear bad things about him after I had the opportunity to do this. But that's not really how the rest of the press really operates, you know? Like, there's no concern for, like, hurting people's feelings because you said something about them physically. I don't know. I wonder how long you have to stay in Washington, D.C. and do this till you get totally jaded. Because I'm not jaded. I like being here. I like soaking all of this in. I like seeing the stuff happening. And I thought he did a really good job of explaining where they are so far when people are asking questions. One thing that I've had brought up to me, this is one of the questions that I had as a backup if I did get called on and my initial question kind of got asked. But have you seen that he's going on X and talking about financial literacy? Have you seen the stuff that
Scott
he's been
Bessent
putting out?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No, I haven't seen that.
And it's kind of talking to young people. He did a call with TPUSA and Charlie Kirk's group. We had a lot of young people on there. But, I mean, there are like videos on X where you can go. I haven't watched all of them yet. Somebody just told me about them this morning. And I'm going to go check them out. But he's like, hey, here's how you can do smart financial things with your life. And I'm like, that's what I need. Like, I want to be able to just say, all right, trust the smart people to go do the things that they're supposed to do and take care of tariffs and world trade. But tell me how I can make my financial position in the future better. But the problem is, and the reason why you need to have a press that is an advocate for the people, that doesn't mean it's adversarial. It doesn't mean it's oppositional, but it can mean that if what the people who are in charge and making the decisions and the deals and everything if they're not advocating for the people they represent, then all of a sudden it becomes oppositional. I just find it very interesting that somebody with the stature and position of the Secretary of the Treasury is like, hey, let me talk to you about financial literacy. So I encourage people to go check that out. I'm going to have to do the same myself.
Well, that stuff's really important. This is stuff that used to be taught in a variety of ways throughout a kid's life. So your parents hopefully were teaching you about basics of economics, you know, with your allowance or whatever. The history of the country, civics, that stuff's not taught in schools in the same way that it used to be. In some schools, they still teach civics.
It's required.
But it's very heavy-handed with viewpoint.
Yes.
Instead of being what we know to be just civics classes. So this kind of stuff, it's really important. And now, Annie, as a Washington insider... which you now are.
Time to vote.
Oh, you got to go vote. Yeah, shoot, man. Thanks for your time, though. Gosh, we appreciate it.
What are we voting
just
on,
squeezing
guys?
Squeezing us in.
I just figure I'm on the, I don't know what we're voting on. I'll just read it after we pass it plan.
Just have your staff do it and tell you what to do.
Hey, Dino, you guys are like part of my staff.
Oh, yeah.
If I had staff, it would be you. I'm going to let Ryan Wiggins read this and tell me how to vote.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to tell you yes to everything, and I'm going to take tons of kickbacks.
I'm going to get kicked out of this office.
Yeah, you
while
are.
We're doing the interview.
You can't do that in there. But I saw today, Annie, there's a person on Twitter X who had been kind of a data person. And they became part of Doge because they were really good at data and tech stuff. We'll just go right through that. Wow, it's getting louder. They
just
really
pull
need
my
to
mic down while you're talking. Okay. You could do that.
So this person is new to Washington, and I thought this was fascinating because she, being part of Doge, had not been a part of the system. And she said, it's amazing to watch, and I don't know that you've been here long enough for this, but I just thought it was an interesting perspective, and I figured you could comment on it. That she said, there's so many people that I meet, both sides of the aisle, that they're Washington insiders. Influence is the name of the game, getting along with people, both sides of the aisle. It's kind of bipartisan, except when it comes to public, you know, then they're very nonpartisan or they're very partisan. But that there are a certain group of people in Washington who just do not want to be a part of that system. And a lot of those people are running the country right now, and that's odd. I know you haven't been there that long, but I figured you could say something about that.
So, like, what's your question then specifically?
It's just that, are you noticing that some of the people you're talking to, are they saying, yeah, it can't be business as usual because we have a different administration now than we really have ever had? It's always been Washington insiders until now.
I think that the whole message of the 100 days is that this is nowhere near business as usual. I mean, honestly, I don't think in my lifetime America has seen the opportunity that exists in front of it right now, the way it does right now. That doesn't mean we're going to get there. They got to see it through the, you know, I spoke with Senator Schmidt and Congressman Boss, both opportunities that you guys will get to see here on the Annie Frye Show today or tomorrow or this week for sure. And they both talked about making sure the tax cuts get made permanent. Now, the date that's on the calendar right now, there's a pin in the July 4th recess that they're going to get those tax cuts made permanent then, but they got to get the job done. And I think the most powerful thing that exists about this moment in time is that there is a clear mandate that the Trump policy, the Trump doctrine, if you will, is the way we're going to do this thing. So if you as a legislator differ a little bit from what Trump wants to accomplish, there is a buy-in across the board that suggests, okay, maybe this isn't what I would have done specifically, but I'm going to compromise and give a little bit here for the clear mandate that Donald Trump had when he won the presidency. So I literally pray that Donald Trump is able to accomplish the things that he has said he's going to accomplish, because I think about my kids' future. I think about this is something I spoke with the senator about today, is the idea of the American dream. And I'll tell you, this is the question I was going to ask today in the briefing. This is what I have written down. When the greatest generation and the baby boomers were coming of age, there was an idea of an American dream. The administration has committed to transformational and generational economic reform for Americans. For today's younger generations and younger parents, who've long struggled to afford basic goods due to rising costs, economic downturns, and consistent struggle to make ends meet alone to get ahead. if the president's tax cuts, DOGE cuts, and tariffs are successful, what does the administration believe that today's parents can hope for in an American dream for their children? So I think that if you, we talked about this a long time ago, but if the tariffs bring back manufacturing and jobs and production to this country, when I think of the greatest generation and the boomers, I think of people who are really proud to go to work, to be independent, to make a living, to grow the experience and the success that they have. I mean, like, think about our parents and our grandparents. Those people were proud of the independence that they provided their family and the security they provided for their family. And when you think about it, it's kind of much simpler than what we think about providing for our families right now. But people were able to do it. And, you know, I'll speak for a lot of the moms out there. A lot of moms stayed home, and somehow or another, you could still have a nice home, provide meals for your family, security for your family on a single income. People appreciated jobs. People appreciated work. We have grown up, if you're like me and you're in your 40s, we've kind of grown up in this slow decay of victimhood. And, you know, I think about, there we go again. You know what? You want me to finish this thought on the other side of this break?
No, I want you to finish it now.
Okay, you want me to go in between the beeps?
No, I just want you to talk through it.
I could do it. I just don't know how distracting it is. I think that when we look forward to the future and we think about people appreciating the things that are hard that result in the things that are good, instead of people just whining about the things that are hard and demanding the things that are good, if we could get back to that idea of investing in yourself, working your tail off and reaping the benefits of it, I think that's on the other side of a successful tariff strategy that brings business and manufacturing and production back to the United States. And I mean, to me, that's a cultural thing. That's an ideology. That's a sense of pride in what America, made in America, being in America. I feel like looking back on our lives, the 80s, the 90s, the 2000s, that there's been a deterioration in the idea of being proud of who we are. And I'm so ready to be back to that place where America, where we stand tall, we stand together, Democrats, Republicans alike, somewhere in the middle. And we just are proud to be who we are and not ashamed to say it.
It's being reported pretty often now how much more conservative Gen Z is than previous young generations. That seems to be the cultural shift that you're talking about. It would have to happen that way.
Well, and if the people who are coming of age post-COVID, I mean, there's a generation of people who saw what government is capable of doing during COVID. They lost something that they will shape the rest of their lives. This, what COVID and over-regulatory government did, it will be really interesting to see the success of the Trump policies should we reach the other side here, along with that real tangible understanding of what big government, over regulatory government can do. I mean, we could be making America great again. You know?
What? What?
Yeah. I felt like I had to say that. I'm in the Capitol.
I was hoping, you know, when the beeps first started, I thought that Brad was trying to push us out of a segment with the song Sweet Emotion, because the tone is about the same. Be sweet emotion. But he wasn't.
Next time it starts doing that, I'll just go into Aerosmith song.
Go into Steven Tyler fully. Let's take a break. And then, Annie, let's come back and talk, you know, just about what your last 24 hours have been like. You just catch up on some of the things you saw yesterday and this morning.
There's some questions, too, that I've starred on the YouTube live chat. I can maybe answer. You guys can pop up some of those. We can answer some of the listener questions if they want to hop on the Annie Fry Show YouTube. Make sure you subscribe and then leave a comment and or a question or whatever. And Brad and Brian, maybe you can throw some of those at me.
Let's do it. We'll be right back with more Annie Fry. Annie Goes to Washington here on the Annie Fry Show. We have people asking you questions from St. Louis about your trip to D.C. and where you are right now. Let's start with this one just because it's happening at the moment. Annie, whose office are you camping out in?
I am in Congressman Mike Bost's office, a very nice one. He chairs the Veterans Affairs Committee, so he has a lot of staff, a lot of responsibilities too. And so he had to go to a meeting And then I think it was a lunch meeting. And then I think he has to go to vote. That's what we keep hearing the buzzer for, I believe. And so I'm hanging out here. He offered it up. And I was like, that would be so amazing. Originally, I was thinking I was going to throw up the mobile hotspot on my phone and go sit on like the Capitol Hill steps or something like that and do this. But this has been such a blessing. I was really grateful for the opportunity to be in here.
So I have a question here from Info Dude. He said, Annie.
Hi, Info.
Curious, being in Washington, D.C., how does this compare to what your original career path was going to be whenever you wanted to be a sideline type reporter?
Oh, back to the sports days. That's an interesting question because, I think everybody kind of want to work in something that they love and that entertains them and interesting to them. And sports always was really where a lot of my focus was as a student athlete going through high school. I quit doing the sports broadcast or the sports media thing because it turned out if my trajectory was going to stay on the right path, I was going to end up working a lot of nights and weekends because that's when the big games are. And so I got into news. News is 24/7, of course. And I've always had, and I still have this thought in my mind because I cover it all the time. It you know, a lot of times you pay a lot of attention to something. You're like, oh, I wonder if I could do that job. The idea of being an elected official potentially being in Washington, D.C. I mean, that idea has crossed my mind before. I've had some interest in it, but with a young family, that looks really hard. And being up here, I realize how much I love what I do right now. The ability to have 3 hours of, I mean, that's the thing. And I hope Ryan and Brad, you guys feel the same way, but like, as much as we're doing work and covering news and having to stay on top of everything, we have so much fun every day for 3 hours, just having the silliest conversations. And we know we have such great relationships with the YouTube live chat. So it's like the three of us in this room having a conversation. There's usually another 150 people on the live chat on YouTube. And then there's the thousands of people in the St. Louis area that are listening to us that come up and talk to me, come up and talk to you guys about, oh, it was so funny when, and then they fill in the blank here and you're like, I laughed all the way home. They'll say like, I really needed that. And it makes me realize, at least from any sort of like congressional hopes that I would ever potentially have, however big those are, to help people, that I think that what we're doing really does help people, because this is like 24/7 intense, heavy stuff, which we do on 97.1 and we do on the Annie Fry Show, but we have a responsibility to help people exhale too. And I think I have an extra appreciation for the idea that we get to talk about this stuff and pay attention to the stuff that matters, but have fun while we're doing it.
There's another question here. Do you ever get tired of people telling you, I love you, you're so smart? I do. that was from me. I didn't say it was from a listener. That was from me. Let me ask you a listener question now.
Are you saying you get tired of people telling me that they love me or that they love you?
You can take that however you want it. I don't care.
I got an idea.
Officer Gary says, Annie, was Tom Holman intimidating in person?
Let me put it this way. I agree with everything Tom Holman is doing, and I think it's about darn time that somebody says the things that he says. I haven't done anything wrong to my knowledge, so I wasn't intimidated by him, but like, I could imagine that he would not be the person you'd want to see walk in the door in the event that you knew that you were in trouble.
This is a terrible question. I shouldn't ask you this, but is he a pretty big guy too?
Yeah, he's huge.
Is he?
Like,
I thought he was.
Yeah, he's tall. I mean, he's Besson is super long and I would say lean, but I mean, to me, Holman looks like a guy that was cast to do his job. I mean, he just looks like a no BS type of guy who it's not about like he values his work or believes in his work. He enjoys his work. And he knows that God put him on this earth to do the job he's doing. And he has decided to do it very well.
I was going to say, it's like a calling for Tom Holman that he's just walking out what he was created to do. This one is about your experience a little bit more. This is from Kate. She says, what's been your favorite thing about the trip so far to DC?
It's hard to tell. I may answer that question differently, like on Friday after I've had to have, you know, like active mind, you know what it's like to like, you're going through life and there are some things, like, for instance, you can drive home and never really think about the roads that you're driving on, but it's 30 minutes of your day or whatever it might be. This 100% of the time that my eyes are open, I'm like actively thinking about what I need to do right now, what I need to do next. So that's been like drinking from a fire hose, but just being able to see the other side of something that I pay attention to every single day, man, I just think it's, I think it's pretty, it's just been, the whole thing has been cool.
So the answer to the question, your favorite thing about the trip so far, is that it's been like the movie Limitless with Bradley Cooper. The next question, also from Kate, similar, but a little bit different. Biggest surprise of the trip so far?
I think the biggest surprise was like at being a member of, not a member, because like there's like, I'm probably not using correct vocabulary, but being able to go in and participate in the White House press pool and everything, how the American representation in the press, they have so much access and responsibility and freedom in this area to move about. I mean, how amazing is it that on the White House lawn, on the literal other side of the driveway of the White House, is a whole row of networks who have praise to offer the administration for policies they're putting in, and in the next tent over, great dissension in what the administration is doing. I mean, like, how American is it to know that you can have all of these people, and you know, the man making a lot of the decisions from the executive branch is meters away from the people who could be criticizing him significantly for the things that he's doing. And that's the same way as it was when the Biden administration was in the White House. That's really, really cool. And I'm just amazed at how much, I'm just kind of amazed to see how it works. It's not like super managed in the sense that, of the press to be there and be on the premises and to cover all of these things.
I would think more so even with this president too, right? Because he's just so available randomly.
Yeah, it keeps people on their toes for sure.
Okay, last question for you before we got to get to the top of the hour here from Vicky. Do you see more trips to DC in your future?
Now would be a great time to thank Stewart's American Mortgage and Grasper Electric for working with us to make this, you know, an opportunity for the station as a whole. I really couldn't have done this without them. You know, I would have been doing it on my own dime. And when Stu is like, if this helps you, Annie, I'm gonna do this. I mean, I'm really super grateful to it. A lot of it has to do with what you all in the YouTube chat think. Like, provide us the feedback of, you know, if I can come on the show and if I can go somewhere and still participate in the show this way and turn around, like, I think you guys are going to get to watch Eric Schmidt in the next hour, maybe the 2 o'clock hour, maybe an interview from Congressman Voss as well. I would love this opportunity to be able to continue to do this. And if people want to, if there are folks listening right now who would like to sponsor another trip for me to go somewhere or do something, AnnieFryShow.com, get in contact.
Well, Annie, stay connected with us as much as you can, but also don't miss out on anything. Like, be sure to take full advantage of your time in D.C., and then we will continue to air some of that content and maybe even connect with you later today. So stick around. All right. This is the Annie Fry Show on 97.1 FM Talk.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Fridman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The revolution redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because, like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colone for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.